passing it to them. Your basis for making an attempt to pass something that they must have, must need, that they do need, that will bless their life, cannot be your thoughts about whether they want to receive it or not. And so you and I are called to be carriers. During certain seasons especially, we worry about what people are putting into the atmosphere. In Christ, our job is to always be a carrier. If nobody catches anything from us, shame on us. If nobody catches anything from you, and I'm not talking about the flu, if nobody catches something from you, something of Christ, something of His church, something of God's love, something of God's plan to redeem them from sin, if nobody catches something from you, ever catches something from you, shame on you. And I can't say that strongly enough, because that's your purpose, your only purpose as a Christian. If nobody's catching anything from you because you're not a carrier, shame on you. I'm going to go as far as saying this morning, I have great difficulty in believing that the Lord would ever be pleased with you or me if nobody ever catches anything from you or me. There it is. Some things we should never turn away from. Now, in this situation, she's being kind. In this situation, she's not being like the other. By the way, I got this idea because I was in Subway not long ago, and there was the counter where you order there. And yes, they have those little glass, plexiglass, whatever they are, guards over the meats and the cheeses and the toppings and so on. But this lady was attempting or starting to order, and she could hardly get through her order because she was sneezing. Well, I understand 'tis the season in Middle Tennessee, but ma'am, could you please turn? Because I'm behind you. I'm the next guy to say, put that meat on my sandwich. My goodness. And I'm like, there's a sermon in that somewhere. You know what I mean, buddy? We're going to find it. There's a sermon in that. Now look, she's being kind. And the other one's being guarded. But she's being kind to turn. But there are some things and some opportunities where if I turn, I am not kind. There are some opportunities that have already been ours within the past week and will be ours in the coming week, that if we turn from taking those opportunities, we are anything but kind. We are anything but loving, and we might be scared. Fishers of men. Hey, I'm glad Bubba is here. Let me say why I said that. That didn't sound good. Well, I'm glad Bubba's finally here. It's good we finally got Bubba out to church. Bubba is sometimes on shift at the fire hall. But this is his week here. Many of you know, if you know Bubba and have known him very long, you know, to say the least, he's a fisherman, right? Now, Bubba, if you take me fishing and you say, Andy, are you a fisherman? And I say, I'm a fisherman extraordinaire. Really? Where do you like to go? Well, the one time I went to Percy Priest. How'd you do? Well, you know, we stayed 20 minutes and I threw in once and nothing really happened. And I just thought, well, they're not biting today, and I went home. But I'm a fisherman extraordinaire. Now, you wouldn't say that. He might be kind there. He might turn away from what he wants to say. But I'm not a fisherman. And I'm not a fisher of men. Jesus said to Simon, do not fear. From now on, you'll be catching men. Mark chapter 5. I'm not a fisher of men if I don't understand that I have a clear job description as a disciple of Christ. So let me ask you something. When you run across somebody at Percy Priest, when you run across somebody on some river somewhere, here's one fisherman to another. One's been out all day, or at least for a while. The other one's just shown up, and he gets in over near his favorite hole, and he asks the question, are they hitting? Are they biting? You getting anything? Bubba tells them no, so they'll go to another spot. Let me ask you, are they biting? Are they biting? Scripture says they will. Scripture says some won't. But Scripture says some will. Let me ask you, in your life, in your relationships, in your chosen interactions, are they biting? You know, when Bubba goes to the lake, he has a rod. And on the end of on that rod is a line. And on the end of that line are some weights. And then there's a hook. And then there's the bait. Bubba doesn't drive out and get in the boat and drive out on Priest and sit there. He stays 3 hours and he comes home and Barb says, did you get anything? He said, they weren't biting today. Huh, what'd you use? Well, nothing, but they didn't jump in the boat. I wonder, how many of you have the heart to be evangelistic? But if you're honest with yourself and before the God who already knows the real answer, you think you're a fisher of men, you think you want to be, and you think you are trying to be, but quite frankly, you're just in the boat and you're waiting for them to come up and bite you and give you a permission, and then you might move toward a certain type of conversation. For example, I'm not a fisher of men if I don't understand that I have a clear job description as a disciple of Christ. Not a clear job description because I'm the preacher at Center Chapel. Not a clear job description because I'm a male. Not a clear job description only because I'm of a certain age. Not a clear job description just because I've been here a certain amount of time. Not a clear job description only because I may have this talent where I don't have that talent. In Christ, you have this job description. In Christ, period. That's young, that's old, that's male, that's female. That's long-time Christian, short-time Christian. And if I don't understand that job description, I really don't understand Scripture at all. Now let me ask you, are you catching anything? The question might be also, are you using the right bait? Our job is to glorify God in everything we do. Shine a light upon Him, upon His goodness, upon His love for man, upon His holiness, which makes man separated from Him by his sin, upon His plan to reconcile, bring man back to Him through the person of Jesus Christ, through and only through and in union with Christ, and how that happens. That's our job description. Our job is to glorify Christ. When Jesus walked the earth, if we're going to do it like Jesus did it, when Jesus walked the earth, everything He did was to point them to the Father. Our job is to glorify the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. We glorify all kinds of other things. We glorify our business. We glorify our family. We glorify our favorite team. We glorify our favorite candidate. We glorify how many Facebook friends we have. We glorify, you name it, keep filling in the blanks, comma after comma after comma. But let me ask you a question. Are you glorifying the only thing that's in your job description in Christ? Those things aren't inherently wrong, but to leave one out is not just wrong, it's damning. And so we sing this morning this familiar song. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Back there, as I know they are, and I appreciate, and hopefully I didn't hit something on that accidentally, we will move. So let me ask you a question. What germ traits are contagious? What germ traits are contagious? We're talking about being a carrier. That's our job description. What germ traits are contagious? Well, the first one that is to be amazed by the glory of God. Luke chapter 9 and verse 43. Jesus, verse 41 through 43, Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon threw him into the ground and convulsed him. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy, and he gave him back to his father. And all were astonished at the majesty of God. Let me ask a rather serious question. Are you amazed at the glory of God? Because if you don't stand amazed, as we sometimes sing, if you don't stand amazed, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner, condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. And my song shall ever be. This is my song out there when I leave here. This is my always song. If you're not amazed at the glory of God, how in the world would you expect that somebody else is suddenly, just by osmosis, going to capture it? Why should they be amazed if we're not amazed? But I'm going to tell you, as honest as I know to be, I think far too many congregations have far too many members who don't look amazed. They don't sound amazed. And I have to wonder. I'm not with them all week. I'll say that. I'm not with them all week. May not be with them much. But it makes me wonder whether anybody else is capturing or catching anything from them. Let me ask you a serious question. Do people see or hear you and think you're living something amazing? You know, I see people from time to time, whether it's on Facebook or whether it's on some bumper sticker, ask me about whatever, or just in conversations and regular interactions with people in the workplace, people I work with. People talk about the things they're amazed by. They put it on Facebook. They put it on a bumper sticker. They wear it on a t-shirt. They can't help but tell somebody the things they're amazed by. I'm asking you to be honest before the God who already knows the question or the answer, who already knows the answer to this question. Do people see and hear you and think you're living something amazing? If we're not amazed, don't expect them to be. Here's some more amazement. It's from Acts chapter 3. And leaping up, he stood up and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. That's Peter through Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the hands that were laid upon him, had healed. All the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Let me ask you another question. And be honest before the God who already knows. See, the answer is not true just because you think it is. It may be, but the basis of truth is not because you think it is. Let me ask you a question. Do people wonder what happened to you? If there's been no transformation when you came up out of a water like this, if there was no transformation of life, do people wonder what happened to you? Do they know about the greatness of God? The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great sing those kinds of songs. If we think of that greatness, we need to sing like it's greatness. I believe we can do better. Not only should we be amazed by the glory of God, we should be transformed by the love of Jesus. If anybody's going to catch anything from you, you have to be amazed at the glory of God. Otherwise, don't expect them to be. And if anybody's going to catch anything from us, we have to be transformed by the love of Jesus. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Talking about transformation in the life of the Christian. Paul writing to the church at Rome. And he says, this is your spiritual act of worship. This transformation is your spiritual act of worship. Some translations say it's your reasonable service. If this is a great thing, then it would be reasonable that it looks like a great thing, right? Be transformed, he says, by the renewing of your mind that you may prove that which is good, that which is acceptable and perfect, and the will of God. The reading this morning that Spencer had for us was 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. There it is again. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, the idolaters, the adulterers, men who practice homosexuality, thieves, greedy, drunkards, revilers, swindlers, they'll not inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. This is the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth had a reputation in their past like none other that Paul ever wrote to. This is the church at Corinth. To Corinthianize was actually a saying. It was a popular, understood saying. To Corinthianize was to be involved in some stuff. And they had been. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified and justified in the name or by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And since you were washed, is the obvious understanding, you don't do those things anymore. You've been transformed. Or you weren't really washed. If you weren't transformed, did you really become a child of God? Let me tell you something. There is more to the basis of becoming a Christian than the water. I can put people underwater and they can never have become a child of God. I believe they have to be placed underwater to become a child of God, but I also know there's more to water than to become a child of God. If there's not transformation, did I ever really receive Christ? Was I ever converted? Conversion. We're called to conversion, which culminates and must culminate in our own death, burial, and resurrection in what we call baptism in a watery grave. It must culminate there. It is there. That's how and when we contact the blood of Jesus, and not before and not without. But I'll tell you this, I can dunk somebody in a tub of water and them have never been converted to Christ. Have you been transformed? Is that your intention? Because if I'm not amazed and if I'm not transformed, nobody's going to catch anything from me. And then we have to be yielded to the Word of God, rather than the Scripture shaping to us, shaping to you. Let me ask you again, a third time this morning, to be as honest before the God who already knows the real answer. Are you yielded to the Word of God? Or are you wanting Scripture to shape to you? A lot of folks sit in a lot of church pews, a lot of places, today, right now, around the world, maybe in this community, hopefully not in this room, that regularly attempt to shape Scripture to their life rather than their life to Scripture. If anybody's to catch anything from me, I have to be amazed at the glory of God. I have to be transformed by the love of Christ. And I have to be yielded to the Word of God. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father that's in heaven." You know what that means? That means your heart is not all that matters, or your thoughts of your heart. Your sincerity. Sincerity is ultimately all that matters. That's not what Scripture teaches, and you know it if you know any Scripture. You've got to be yielded to the will of God as revealed in the text. That's what God said. And so we sing sometimes songs like, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way." Here's the phrase, "Thou art the potter, I am the clay." Here's another phrase, "Mold me and make me after thy will while I'm waiting." Yielded. Now look, if you start driving and you don't know what the yield sign means, you might injure yourself or somebody else. If you start driving in the Christian life and don't understand yielding, you'll endanger your soul and theirs. While I'm waiting, yielded and still. And so we ask, as Jesus prayed in what we call the model prayer, for the Lord to reign, have reign in us. That's what He means. Thy kingdom come. Let it reign. Come to me. Let it reign in my life. That's the meaning of that phrase in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. Lord, reign in me. Let me be yielded to Your will. Over all the earth You reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that You reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in Your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, You are the Lord of all I am. So won't You reign in me again, over every thought, over every word. May my life reflect the beauty of my Lord. But You mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't You reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in Your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, You are the Lord of all I am. So won't You reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in Your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, You are the Lord of all I am. So won't You reign in me again.
Jesus was a carrier and did not turn away. Never see Jesus in Scripture having an opportunity, knowing a certain situation is there, and turning. He would have not have been loving. He would have not have been merciful. He would not have been kind. In fact, He would have been hateful. Jesus was a carrier. In John chapter 4, He has a conversation with the woman at the well, the woman from Samaria. And Jesus has no business talking to her, according to the way the Jews would view the Samaritans, and no expectation, maybe no desire, even from the Samaritan woman for the conversation either. This just did not happen. And now you have a Jewish male and a Samaritan woman, you take it up a notch. No. But that's not the picture we get from Jesus. Jesus created an intentional encounter in John 4. You see that in verses 4 through 7. He created the encounter. He desired the encounter. He purposed the encounter. That's even more so than just not turning away. Jesus created it, desired it, purposed it. By the time you get to verses 10 through 14, Jesus turned an ordinary conversation into a spiritual conversation. And you can do that also. Yes, you can. In fact, it's in your job description. By the time you get down to verses 13 and 14, Jesus gave people a reason to follow. And we will do that with an amazement and with a transformation and with a yielding, all three things we've already discussed, we will do that also. We'll give them a reason to follow. That's intriguing when somebody is amazed. It's intriguing when somebody has been transformed. It's intriguing where somebody is sacrificially yielding to something else. What is so wonderful about this thing? And they will listen and they will follow. Jesus refused to turn away. He knew His mission from His Father was to be a carrier. You have a job description. You're a carrier. And if you're not a carrier, you're not like Christ. I'm asking you to answer for a fourth time today, honestly, as you know how to be, and before the God who already knows, are you a carrier?
are you contagious?
Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16 is a section of well-known verses. We'll look at that in just a moment. But I think this phrase at the top in the parentheses is important. We get news from time to time about a tumor being confirmed, and then they send a portion of that off to a lab, and they're going to check that, and we're hoping we're going to hear the word benign. I'm going to tell you something. There is a time when the word benign is not good. And I'm not talking about in a physical health tumor sort of consideration. I'm telling you, if you are benign in your faith, that is not good. I'm telling you, if you're just benign, you're not living the purpose that Jesus had for you. It's not good. Souls are in danger, and you have to answer. There's a time when being benign is being hateful. And this is what Jesus said. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. How is this thing going to get done if God's people don't get it done? Are you a carrier? There is a fountain free. 'Tis for you and me. Let us haste, make haste. Sense of urgency. Let us haste, make haste to its brink. It's a fountain of love. It's from the source above. It's from God. And He's asking all to drink from it, and it's the only place from where man can drink and live with Him forever. Now look, that's what your Bible teaches. That's not what Andy said. That's what your Bible teaches. And as we sing, we're singing what Scripture claims. We're singing what Scripture implores. And as we stand, we're doing that because we're imploring those that need it to believe it and to respond. Even right now, even today, are you a carrier? You're going to need Christ in you first before you can carry anything to somebody else. And that's what we want you to respond to while together we stand and sing. Amen.